Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries on the internet. We're going to pray that God would move in mighty and awesome ways. So now, let's get into the Word.
Giving honor to God, giving honor to Jesus Christ, who is Lord of our lives. Giving honor to moderator Tiller. Giving honor to President Russian. Giving honor to all the ministers on the roster. I also want to give honor to the real senior pastor at Bethlehem, Reverend Russian, because he's been preaching and pastoring far longer than any of us. Giving honor also to my adopted son in the ministry, Reverend Ford, who I think he really knows the meaning of that song, "I Never Would Have Made It Without You." And giving honor to my blood, a real son in the ministry, Reverend Fazell. I like to joke, can you see the family resemblance in us? And also, Reverend Clay, that is serving faithfully today, and I heard was going to be the new interim pastor here, and we'll be praying for you as well as the whole church. Amen? Amen. Amen. Giving honor to my homeboy, Deacon Hutchins. He's my homeboy. We came from the same part of town there in Dallas in South Oak Cliff. I went to South Oak Cliff High School, and he went to Wilma Hutchins. I have to forgive him for that. I have to forgive him for that. You know, in Dallas, we all didn't make the right decisions. and also giving honor to this. Lastly, but not least, we want to give honor to my lovely wife, Kimberly Eaton. Amen. Amen. She is my helpmate, and we praise God for her. But for the real honor today is really for Gilfield, amen? 103 years. And we're praising God for 103 years, as moderator Tiller has shown. It has outlasted all of our generations. There are many institutions and businesses that have faltered, but Gilfield here in Davis is still here. Amen? Yeah. Still here. And we praise God for you allowing us to share with you this 103-year anniversary. You're just a little bit younger than Bethlehem. We're celebrating 107, and I would boast, and Sheldon may come through the door, and I think that's the oldest church around here. If not, who's the oldest? Who's the oldest? Okay, who is it? Calvary. Okay, really? Okay. How many years is that? 122? Hey, man, praise the Lord. God. This blows my mind. All of these churches lasting, centuries. So So we are excited for you today. And as you can see, there are many who've had to pause, and though there are many other things that were going on in this day, I think we had three or four other events, but we had to pause and come and honor Gilfield. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So can I get somebody to sing me an old 100, and then we'll get into the word. Amen.
God, you know my great Jehovah. Would
you all stand? Father, to hear what you have to say, Father, to the Gilfield Baptist Church, Father, after 103 years, Father. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, Father. We thank you, Father, for all of the saints that have come through this place, Father. And we praise your holy name, Father, for all of that great surrounding crowd of witnesses that are witnessing us here today in Jesus' name, Father. We want to glorify you in this day, Father, and glorify you within this place, Father. We thank you, Father, and we praise your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen and praise the Lord. We're going to look in your Bibles in Jeremiah 29. We're going to be looking at verse 11. And all those who have the King James, I want you, as you stand in reverence to the Word of God, as you stand symbolically saying, I will stand on the Word of God, I want us all to read this out loud at the same time. Those who have the King James, Jeremiah 29:11. Read.
For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil.
Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. The NIV reads, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Our theme this year is a change is coming. A change is coming. And I want to subtitle our time today, God's Great Expectations. God's Great Expectations. And today we're going to preach on or around three different points as the Holy Spirit allows us. We're going to talk about God's expectations. We're going to talk about God's ease. And then we're going to talk about God's expected end. And we want Christians to know that they should live up to God's great expectations for their lives. Amen. Positive thinking is a mental attitude that admits into the mind's thoughts, words, images that are conducive to growth, expansion, and success. It is a mental attitude that expects good and favorable results. A positive mind expects happiness, joy, health, and a successful outcome of every circumstance and action. But the only thing wrong with having a positive mindset many times is that we or us being emotional can sometimes enter into a time of great suffering and a time of great turmoil till we lose the ability to think right. We lose the ability to have a positive mind. And the people in this text into which Jeremiah was speaking to had entered into this time. And they had entered in this time because of their own hard-heartedness. Because of their own disobedience. But I'm so glad that God will, in his grace, will reach us even in our moments of hard-heartedness, in our moments of discouragement, in our moments of disbelief. God will reach us, and this is what the prophet was trying to reach this people who had lost their ability to think right. And they lost their ability to even think on the things of God. The God in this text, point number one, begins to speak to them, and he begins to talk about God's expectation. God's expectation. And he says, in verse 1, he says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, the King James. The NIV says, well, I know the plans I have for you. See, even when you're not right, when you're not thinking right, God says, then I began to think for you. Some of us here today needs God to begin to think for them because they have lost themselves in the circumstances. They have lost themselves in the suffering. They have lost their and have taken their eyes off of God. And God says today that I have a word for you and I have some things I want to tell you because you are not thinking right. Oh, there may be a preacher listening at the sound of my voice. You may not be thinking right. There may be a deacon at the sound of my voice. There's somebody in the middle of a circumstance, in the middle of a trial, and you're not thinking right, and you can say, thank you, Jesus, I don't have to think right. Because I've already done what that rap song singer says. I've already lost my mind up in here, up in here. God says, that's okay. You don't have to figure it out. That's okay. You've lost your mind. God says that now I am going to think for you and you listen to me. I have some expectations for you. And I believe that that's what God is trying to tell Gilfield. Even as you do not have a pastor, sometimes when a church doesn't have a pastor, they don't think right. Hello? Anybody here ever lost a pastor? Anybody here ever had a pastor called away? I remember when I lost my pastor. I had lost my mind. I was mad. I was upset. I was mad at him and everybody else. He left me. There's some folk in Abilene, Texas still mad at me because I heard the call to come to Bethlehem. And this is a trial when people starts to lose their mind. Gilfield, God is saying, don't you lose your mind. I still have some thoughts of you. I still have some plans for you. As a matter of fact, guess what? A change is about to come in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, a change is about to come. Oh, you better get your mind right. Get your mind right. The same God that called him away can call somebody else here. Amen. If we believe that God is the God of pastors, then we believe that if he can call one away, guess what? There is a ram in the bush. Hello? Oh, that ram might be in this house today. Sit down, your associate, sit down. Don't get up until God tell you to get up. Oh, that's been funny, wasn't it? The preacher, you meant it. But God has some expectations. God is thinking. He's thinking about you. As a matter of fact, he's thinking for you. He's thinking for you. I'm so glad. And I like what John Piper had to say. Not even God's will change the past. All the expectations of God are future expectations. So if you're mourning over the loss of a pastor, you know, guess what? That's in the past. Paul, God says he has plans for you, that he's thinking about you, and he's going to help you as he has been through our moderator and as we see on programs through Pastor Scott and everybody else. Paul Gilfield, you are not alone. You are not alone.
Oh, on a day, once again, on a day where we had so many programs. As a matter of fact, we had a 3 o'clock program in our church, but God interrupted that and paused that and said, hey, this is Gilfield. I need you to go over and let them know that I've got plans for you. I've been thinking about you. You can stop your prayer in the middle of the night. You can stop having lost your mind. God says, I've got some plans for you. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, God has some plans for me. Oh, this is Gilfield message, but there may be somebody else that needs to hear this message. Oh, there may be a preacher that wants to pastor one day. Guess what? If God gave you the gift, guess what? Your gifts will make room for you. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to take nobody out to lunch and dinner and try to bribe folk in the pulpit. You don't have to do any of that. God has plans for you. He gifted you. He talented, gave you your abilities. And you don't have to play those spiritual games. Oh, oh, oh. And maybe somebody else in here. You think God forgot you. God ain't forgot you. He had plans for you. As a matter of fact, he formed you in your mother's womb. Before your mother would call you by name, he had plans for you. That word in the Hebrew means plot. Oh, it can also mean scheme. It also means thoughts. God is thinking of you today. And if you think that God has forgotten you, God has sent me here today to tell you and to let you know that Gilfield made it 103 years, most of that time without you. Guess what? You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. All you have to do is allow God to instill into you his expectations. Now, if you get God's expectation, then easily you can get God ease. For CD, a part of this text says, not only am I thinking of you, okay, not only do I have plans for you, okay, but guess what? These are thoughts of peace and not evil. Oh, I can ease my mind. I don't have to worry. I don't have to stay up. I don't have to stay up in the middle of the night. I don't have to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Sometimes we try to change spiritual things into really a nervous thing that you have. The NIV says, plans, I like this better, to prosper you and not harm you. Oh, I can remember, most of you are like me. You have children, if you have grandchildren, you have certain expectations of them, even before you tell them. See, when they were born, some of you began to save for their college because you had certain expectations. They didn't know what those expectations was. And you know what? You never plan for your children any harm. You never plan for your children any evil. Am I right about it? Well, if God is our Father, and he says that we can call on him our Father, then that means that the thoughts that he has for us, that means that the plans that he has put in place for us are for our very own good. For our very own good. You know, I was mad at my pastor when he left. One thing is, I look back on the life, you know, I thought it was evil. I thought the devil called him away. He wasn't listening to God. But you know what? As I look back, I saw that if he would have never left, I would have never become everything that God had called me to be. because you know what happened? It was a prelude. I was the only one left that was a preacher. And guess what? I had to step up. And when I had to step up, I had to enter seminary, okay, because I wanted to get some learning.
Right.
Say, but I guess you didn't get hot English, huh? And they taught me to open the Bible. And I look back and I see in my life that if he would have never left, I wouldn't be where I am today. That's deep in it. That's deep. It may at times seem evil, and the people of God in this text, they had done wrong. And you're saying to a people that's, get this, in harm, that he doesn't have thoughts for you to have harm. These people are in slavery, in suffering. And God, you have the audacity to say that you don't mean any harm for them. God was saying that really, it's not that in our lives that we won't have any suffering. What he's saying is that if you choose to believe his way and to think his thoughts, then you know that you don't have to stay in your suffering. You don't have to stay in your harm. You don't have to stay in your pity party. Amen. Oh, Gilfield, this is the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it's not a place for pity parties. Ooh, I think I said something. You need to gather yourself together. Pick up the banner of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And go forward as soldiers. Oh, what happens on the battlefield when you're fighting against a foe and somebody gets shot? Pow, I'm dead. I got something you need. Guess what? You better take this mic from me. Preachers, if the Lord should take me away, somebody better pick up this mic. And you better go forward in Jesus' name. Hello? In Jesus' name, give fear. God says a change is coming. You don't have to have a pity party. You don't have to be sad. As a matter of fact, you've got to redouble your efforts and say, we're going to go on not only for this 103 years, but we're going to do some stuff right now that's going to affect the next 50, 60, 70 years of this church. In Jesus' name. And if you make the right choice by the power of the Holy Spirit of God and get a man of God that you choose, he could be here, what, for the next 40, 50, 60 years. A change is coming, give fear in Jesus' name. Oh, all of us who are not members of Gilfield, stand and say to your neighbor, a change is coming, Gilfield, in Jesus' name. Amen. God has great expectations for you. Don't you give up. Keep hope alive in Jesus' name. Because God has, my last point, an expected end. He has places he wants you to go. He has things that he wants you to do. It's not over. I like the meaning of this word, expected end. It means the ladder. The ladder. Yeah, the ladder end. And the best illustration I thought to illustrate this point was when the prophet went to look for a king, he went to the house and he saw, oh, that looked like a preacher, but he's not right. He looked like a preacher. Well, all these are, boy, they look great, boy. This look like a general right here. That's a great preacher. But God, he's not the one you chose me to call. Who did, do you have any other sons? Back, way back, back there, back way back, over, back way over there. Wait a minute. Don't you know who this is? This is the Reverend Dr. Bishop Elder. You see all these credentials up here. Shepherd boy. Okay. Not just a shepherd boy, though. He was a shepherd boy with an expected end. Had an expected end. Oh, and when others see a shepherd boy, God may see a king. Oh, maybe some folks looking down on Gilfie. Oh, y'all don't have a pastor. Y'all ain't got no pastor. Can't keep a pastor. And before you know it, because a change is coming, revival happens. Money is coming in, and Gilfill is taking care of our whole district. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here. Up in here. Gilfill became so blessed, they actually began to pay the moderator. You know how we like to do it in 1 year? You know, we can't really pay you, but... Yeah, I said, we'll write the salary off. $50,000 a year because God has blessed us so much. Hello? God is saying, Gilfield, there's an expected end for you. I like the NIV once again. He says, plans to prosper you and not harm you. Oh, God's plan was not to harm you. As a matter of fact, God's plan is to make you better in Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, are you ready to get better? Because I'm not from Gilfield, but I'm going to take some of this word home with me. I'm going to take this back to Pleasantville. I'm going to take this back to Ardmore because God was speaking to me and my church. I was thinking about giving up. I was thinking about throwing in the towel. But God gave a message through Gilfield that a change is coming. Can you receive a church? Can you believe it? I believe I have to believe. A change is coming. Because God has an expected end. God has an expected end. Jesus Christ knows what it's like to be in harm's way. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's only one problem with that, is the harm of death that Jesus would have to go through. Caused him so much turmoil that he stayed up the night before he would be tried. He stayed up And he tried to get his buddies to pray with him. Because he would have to deal and go through that harm called death. As a matter of fact, really, he tried to get in modern day terms to preach us, to stay up with him and pray. Come on, let's have a prayer meeting, preachers. Only one problem with that is that the preachers fell asleep. I have to deal with harm. I have to go through harm, but all these people around me have fallen asleep. So Jesus had to pray for and by himself. He had to turmoil because he had to deal with the harm of death, and it caused him so much tribulation that he began to sweat blood drops. Harm. Got off out of that garden and was taken away, betrayed by his own best friend, one of his own best friends. Tried 6 times. Harm. They said, guilty, put a crown of thorns on his head, harm. Beat his back and marred his body, harm. Oh, but Jesus had an expected end. He could be placed on that cross, nailed to the cross, put up between two thieves, right in the middle of harm's way. Stretched out for you and me, because he had to die, but oh, he had an expected end. And that's why he and many historians tell us that there was more than just Jesus who was crucified. But the only problem with that is that those that were crucified didn't have Jesus' expected end. He gave up the ghost because they couldn't take his life away from him. He gave it up. Taken down from the cross. After he said, it is finished. Put in a borrowed tomb and the story would be over. But there's only one problem Jesus had and expected it. He was in harm, but he wasn't meant to stay in harm. Oh, he stayed dead that first day, stayed dead that second day, but on the third day, somebody knocked and said, Jesus, it's time for you to rise. And expected it, and he got up with all power in his hand, and he got up early. I said he got up early on that third day with all power in his hands because he had an expected end, and his expected end was not just us, but to go and be back with his Father. Can we give God a hand clap of praise for that expected end? That's why if we still have life in our breath, we find ourselves in the middle of harm, we can believe that God has great expectations, and because of that, God can give me ease because I believe that there's an expected end for my life. Because Brother Hutchinson, after Malachi, Matthew is coming. Maybe seem like 400 years of silence, but Matthew is coming. So there is an expected year. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that will make you right for a relationship with God. thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise God. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. Live in love. Believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. If you're listening throughout the world, you're listening throughout the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby, and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord. Hello again. This is Pastor Michael E. Tom, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've called this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, If God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, a state-of-the-art build, a reality, because you've taken time to give 25, 50, 10, 100, and you may be able to do more, whatever God is laying on your heart. We need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.